Well, Sudan's foreign ministry says the United Nations envoy is not welcome in the country. In a statement issued early on Friday, it's declared Volker Pethe's persona non grata. Well, let's go straight to our correspondent, Hibba Morgan. She is in Omdurman, that's across the Nile River, from Khartoum. Hibba, Sudan's been unhappy with Volker Pethe for some time now. What difference does this official statement actually make?
Well, it now makes it official that the UN Special Representative to Sudan, who started his job in 2021, is not welcome back here now. Or is it 2020? But yes. So this statement that came from the Foreign Affairs follows another letter that was written by the Army Chief General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan on May 26th, addressed to the UN Secretary General. Now, he blames the special representative who was in charge of leading or facilitating talks to form a transitional government here in Sudan of being biased towards certain political parties. And he also said, the Army Chief General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan also said that this fighting between the Rapid Support Forces and the Sudanese Army, which is now in its eighth week, would have not happened if they had not received any encouragement from certain sides, including the Special Representative of the United Nations. So it's clear that the government, at least the military branch of the government, believes that the UN representative has a role to play in this conflict that broke out 8 weeks ago. But whether it would have any impact on the ground at this point is not clear. There has been ongoing fighting between the two sides, and both have not listened to any political calls or to try to resolve this issue politically and have been determined to resolve it militarily on the ground.
Well, speaking of which, Hibba, I know you've been hearing more of that ongoing fighting this morning. How are residents who are still stuck there in Khartoum coping?
Well, the situation is quite dire. Many people say that it's becoming untenable. This is the eighth week now. Banks have not been opened since the start of the fighting in mid-April. People can't access their own accounts. They're relying on online banking operations for those who can, and that's not reliable most of the time. So many people are out of cash to buy basic commodities. And even those commodities where available are really expensive in prices, so people say they cannot afford that. Now, humanitarian aid has been able to trickle in, but not enough compared to the population of Khartoum, with millions still remaining trapped. Many people also accuse the warring parties, especially the Rapid Support Forces, of committing atrocities. The RSF have been accused of looting homes, of arbitrary killings of civilians, and of raping women who are trying to escape the conflict here in Khartoum. So lots of accusations, people saying that it's no longer safe for them to stay in the capital, Khartoum, but they can't leave to go anywhere else.
Hibba Morgan there, our correspondent on the ground for us in Omdurman. Thank you very much, Hibba. Well, let's now bring in Ibrahim Mukaya. He's the Special Advisor for Foreign Affairs to the Commander of the Rapid Support Forces. He joins us now from London via Skype. Thank you very much for joining us, sir. Ibrahim, I want to start with the many reports that we've been hearing, as Hibba was just reporting there, from residents in Khartoum of forces committing atrocities, occupying their homes, from aid agencies of the occupation of their hospitals. You signed a commitment to vacate those spaces. When will you abide by that?
Oh, thank you for having me, Faiz. Well, that's why we are insisting to have an observers for the American and Saudi Arabian initiative on the ground, because all this accusation can be clarified when we have these observers. The issue here is not the accusation of each other and the exchanging of such things. The issue is to focus on how to stop the war, how to cease fire, how to abide by the initiative, the American initiative, all elements, and to collect as much elements for it to be successful.
I just want to follow up on something that you said there. You're suggesting that you need other observers, but you are in contact with your forces on the ground. Can you tell us, based on your communication with them, whether or not there have been killings of civilians, for instance?
There is no at all ground for this. There is no truth about these stories. I need you to just remember that the forces are a part of the military, which are very organized and very obedient to the commanders, and they are abide by the human and human rights laws.
Okay. Ibrahim, I want to be clear. We've just heard from our correspondent, Hiba Morgan, there, that we are hearing from civilians that people are scared to go outside of their homes because women are being raped, civilians are being killed, and their homes are also being occupied by your forces. And the aid agencies that I've spoken to are also saying that you're occupying their hospitals. Are you denying that any of this is taking place?
Well, first starting with the aid agencies, yesterday, for example, our forces facilitated the evacuation of 300 children from Maigoma orphanage through a special help with cooperation with the Red Cross. And I will tell you, you know that in the beginning of this crisis, about 7,000 or more criminals were being let out by the Burhan forces from the prisons. Those are very dangerous people who are going around. In addition, there is also propaganda that trying to smear the reputation of the forces. What I'm saying, this government is not very serious of trying to solve this crisis. You saw yourself what happened to Mr. Volker, who has been denied his extended hand to help the Sudanese people in such a need time, in such a need time for help. Those are not serious people, and we are very keen for the Americans and Saudi Arabia and Africans too to try to convince them there is no way out of this crisis without abiding by the international law.
Speaking of international law, I'm sorry, I do want to press you, sir. Are there any rapid support forces fighters at the moment occupying hospitals in Khartoum?
Not at all. There is no forces of ours occupying any hospitals.
And any civilian residences?
As for the civilian residents, as you know, we have sent you an evidence that there is a snipers from the Burhan's forces occupying those houses. And those are a great hazards for civilians and for us too. And that's the only reason why we sometimes do go in those houses to eliminate such hazards. You remember, those evidence are being provided for Al Jazeera.
So you're saying that the only reason you're in civilian homes is because you're trying to take out SAF, the army snipers who are in those homes. That's your statement. I do want to ask you about your relationship to where you're getting your weapons from, because you've mentioned the Americans several times. The U.S. government are saying that the Russian military contractor Wagner has supplied the RSF with surface-to-air missiles. Can I ask you where you're getting your supplies from?
So, as you know, that our forces are in siege in the capital, and they are in siege. They are surrounded by the armed forces. So we are in the capital. How can this weapon come to us? All weapons we found in the capital. As you say, as you know, yesterday Yarmouk, one of the biggest industrial compound in Africa, were being seized by us. There we can find our weapons. So we don't have any relations with Wagner or even with the Russian. Which is, you'd remember that Omar al-Bashir, president, he is the one who went to Russia and asked for protection. And this is the elements now, all of these elements of this government, and the remnant of this government is the one we see now. We are fighting against.
Okay, Ibrahim, we're running out of time, so I want to ask you, so just to be clear there, you've just denied that you're receiving any weapons from the Russian military contractor Wagner, right? Moving on.
Totally, we don't. We don't receive any weapon. All the weapon we found is in the capital, as I told you. I don't need to repeat that. There's a lot of store in the capital.
Ibrahim, and you... You've said that you're very, very keen for a peace process to take place. What would it take for you to pull out of Khartoum? Because this conflict initially began because of issues around integrating the RSF into the military. What would it take, in your mind, for this war to end?
We are waiting for first the initiative, the American and the Saudi Arabia initiative, is to show the pathway out of this crisis, and we are will be abiding by this results of such negotiations.
Ibrahim Mukaya there, the Special Advisor for Foreign Affairs to the Commander of the Rapid Support Forces, speaking to us from London. Thank you so much for your time and joining us here.